Hello, I'm Phil Riley. I'm the chair of judges for the ARIAs, and I'm also the CEO of Boom Radio. I'd like to welcome you to this special edition discussion on Inside the Judging Room, how to win an ARIA. And we've got some winners around the table with us today. It's that time of year where folk are beginning to reflect on their previous year's work and prepare submissions for our industry's most prestigious awards, the ARIAs, which take place in May this year. What makes a winning entry, and how do you ensure that you stand out from the crowd? Well, we've assembled an esteemed panel of industry veterans who will take you through their experiences of judging, the most significant trends that influence the decision-making process, and essential tips for entering this year. So, joining me today, three great guest panelists. Kira Nandra, who's a Radio Academy trustee, producer at BBC Radio 1 Extra. Camilla Bike, fellow and former trustee of the Radio Academy, is the co-founder of Podium.me, a non-profit podcast production and training organisation. Deputy chair of the Radio Academy and content director of Scala Radio, Nick Pitts, is also around the panel with us.
Thank you, Phil. And I'm going to start by asking you a question, actually, if that's okay. And I'd be very interested to know, how do you come up with your head judges and your judges?
We try and pick the best of the best to be head judges, and we therefore limit the people who can be a head judge to either fellows of the Radio Academy or trustees of the Radio Academy. That means that these are people that will have been in the industry for quite some time, and they obviously can take on that extra responsibility of corralling the judges in that final conference call. With the judges themselves, obviously they must be people who are working in the industry at the moment. We normally expect them to have a good few years of experience, 5 years or so of experience, so we're not asking people who've just joined to help judge these awards. These are people who are active practitioners of radio. We try and balance the judges, make them as diverse and inclusive as possible. We balance across the BBC, across the commercial, community sector and independents and podcasters. So we try and make sure that all of those sectors are equally represented. We also obviously go for the same sort of balance in terms of ethnicity, gender, sex and age too. And one of the things that we do is to ensure that the 30 under 30 winners that the Academy runs every year are invited to be judges, because they are, if you like, the best of the up-and-coming talent in the industry.
I've got a question for you as well, Phil. Can you explain how the pooling system works, please?
Yeah, people will have seen this if they have read the rubrics. And this is something we've been doing for the last 6 or 7 years now. We felt that the radio awards themselves were becoming slightly polarised, and that the speech categories, for example, were becoming a bit BBC heavy, and some of the music categories becoming a bit commercial heavy. And we wanted to try and ensure that all those strands were reflected fairly across the whole of the industry. So we started a pooling process with two pools, an A pool and a B pool. And the A pool was BBC entries, essentially, and the B pool was commercial and community entries. We've now added a third pool for independent podcast producers, which I'll come back to. But essentially, the purpose of the pools, when we ask the judges to sit in the room and listen to the best entries of all the ones that they've judged, they've got some that are from the BBC, some are from the commercial community sector, and now increasingly independent podcasters. And this was one of the areas where we felt over the last 2 or 3 years that podcasters weren't getting as fair a shake of the stick as they should do. So we've expanded the number of pools to 3 pools. Now, if you are thinking of entering the awards, you don't need to worry about the pooling system. That takes place all behind the scenes. You just need to put in the best entry you can. And if it's one of the best 3 in each of those pools, it will float to the top and it will get nominated and it will go forward for that final judging session.
Bill, can you take us through the scoring process?
So the scoring process, we used to have 3 criteria. We've now changed it to 4. And essentially, and they're asked to give each entry a score essentially out of 40. 4 scores out of 10 on 4 criteria. And those criteria are creativity, impact, production, and fitting the rubric. All of the judges judge all of those entries individually on their own. And those scores are then tallied back at Radio Academy HQ, and out will come the very best in each of the pools that are then brought back for the judges. And it's just, I might just finish off by saying the final thing that happens in this process is that the head judges and the rest of the judges for each category get together on a Zoom call, and they're given the top three out of each pool, so the final six or nine, and they're asked to then have a proper debate about the quality of those entries. And we ask them at that point to maybe put the scores, the actual mechanical scores, to one side and just talk about the quality of each of those nine, six or nine great entries and how they sound and what they made them feel and how creative they felt they were. And that's the sort of thing that you three get involved with. So I'm going to turn this right back at you and ask you how you felt about going about that process, Kieran, in terms of giving entries scores out of 10.
Well, it's extremely robust. We've got a lot of guidelines to go by. For me, one of the top tips for me would obviously, as well as looking at the rubric properly, making sure your entry matches that, it would be to make sure that you stick to the time, because during that judging process, it's really at the back of all our minds is the fairness aspect of it. And if your entry is over the amount of time that is set in the rubric, we will literally stop listening, to be fair. So it's for me, it is that creativity. It's how people use sound to get their message across. It's how it impacts you on an emotional scale as well, and the impact that it has on audiences. But yeah, sometimes when it's over the amount that it's meant to be, we do literally just stop, and it's also equally as disappointing for us as it is for the entrants. So yeah, stick to those times.
There's something I just wanted to pick up on that, if I may, before we come to Camilla and Nick, which is about impact. It's something I always say to all of the judges, which is to think about the people who aren't in the room, that something may have had a profound impact on other people. It might not have that much of an impact on you, but it's to think in more general terms, isn't it, about the impact that something has, not just its impact on you as an individual when you're being a judge.
I'm always looking for standout audio. I mean, it's obvious, but if it keeps me 100% focused on that piece, then I think I'm going to give that a few stars in my first listen. And I often listen to things twice, because sometimes it depends what time of day it is. We've got hours of stuff to get through. And so I'll do a kind of first pass and listen to it all. And I just do a general scoring, and then I go into the depths of, giving it the out of 10 for each of the categories. And I came up with an analogy when I was thinking about this last night. Like, if you go to a party, so who's the loudest slash most appealing person? Who's got the brightest outfit, and who's got the most interesting conversation? And actually, your entry needs to have all of those elements. It's got to stand out and be bright and loud. It's got to be really interesting that you want to spend time with it. And it's got to, kind of make an impact that you go away thinking, that was great. I really enjoyed speaking to that person. So that's hopefully a little bit helpful in her in terms of how we approach the audio.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of agree with everything that's been said so far. There could be categories. Some of those categories have 50, 60 entries in at 15 minutes apiece. That could be 12 and a half, 15 hours of listening. And therefore, there is every possibility that if something is not necessarily attaching itself to us, we may score it after the first few minutes. So always put the first bits at the front. The fitting the rubric is a really important category. And I would say to everyone who's entering, seriously, look at the rubric just before you hit enter. Check that it fits, because sometimes it's been through a process of at the start, you all as a team might sit down and go, that's absolutely brilliant, let's put it in. And by the time you get to the end place, it actually doesn't fit. And sorry, just to put one more in, is the production criteria is really important. A lot of people will get kind of, well, there's a, it's a team of 170 people on that one, and it's only me on my own. Sometimes a simple phone call with a great producer behind it is as effective, if not more effective, than a huge team of people helping a presenter press buttons. So don't think of it in that way. Think about how in your mind, when you're selecting the pieces to go in from a production point of view, the effort that a single person put in is just as important.
I wanted to ask you about the paperwork and the supporting evidence that goes in with each entry. What do you do with that, and what would you recommend people think about when they're writing those notes?
I personally, I think that sometimes people do that, don't treat it as importantly as the audio. And I would say that the narrative around your entry is as important as the entry, especially the opportunity for the running order. So because the duration of the entries are restricted to 10 items, 15 minutes maximum, that doesn't always mean you're going to get the entire of a conversation, a link, an interview, etc. in there. So utilize the running order as a chance to set the narrative for each link. So don't just put John phones in and talks about his dog. Tell us what the phone in was about and why the dog was important and where we end up, and then we listen to the piece. So I would say, do remember to treat to spend as much time doing the written work as you do with the audio.
Yeah, I would say get someone else who's not in your team to listen to the entry, and then ask them which bits didn't make sense or which bits, kind of jarred against the bit before. And that's the explanation, as Nick said, that you've got to put in your running order.
Right, let's go through those scoring criteria. What would get a high score from you?
Something I haven't heard before. I've been doing this for years, and we've heard a lot of different ways of doing things. And if something just has an approach that is completely unique and clever, then that's going to get a higher score on creativity, definitely.
I might take into consideration the actual, and this will be with the supporting evidence as well, how much press it may have got, how much the audience may have reacted. So if that's in your write-up, and also where I was when that happened as well. Did I hear about it? Did it change things? Has it changed things for other audiences that I may not know about? For example, in a local area of the country that's quite remote, but actually that put them on the map.
That you can hear the work that's gone into creating what can be sometimes very simple piece of audio. So you can hear the you can hear in your mind how the presenter was briefed. You can hear the writing coming through in what they're saying. I think that's really, really important. It's not about whizzes and bangs. It's not about shine, and it's not about glitter balls and jazz hands. It's about the work behind the scenes coming through in that selection.
It can also be the use of silence, a pause, or something that makes you re that creates impact. It doesn't necessarily have to have every sound effect in it. It can be something that is equally as powerful by just tugging at your emotions.
Yes, if anything, some are overproduced, and that doesn't impact me. And the silence is what I was going to mention, that allowing pieces to breathe if they require that will make a big impact.
Let's all come up with our one killer bit of advice. It might be something you've already mentioned, but it's now's your time to repeat it, because repetition is, as we know, a critical part of getting your message across. Mine would be, I'm going to steal everybody else's, mine would be, read the damn rubric. Please read the rubrics, because it is how, it is how the game is judged and won. So that's my killer bit of advice. So none of the three of you now can use that piece of
My
advice.
one killer piece is you mentioned it before. Use the running order as an option, as an opportunity to show the narrative, because you need to do as much as you can to help these bits stick in our minds as judges.
I'd say focus on the creativity impact in production and do away with the glitz, glamour, and the big names. Obviously, if it's a big name by nature, that's fine, but it's about the production and how that piece comes across on a level playing field.
The first question is from Domi. Hi, thank you for holding this seminar. Is the audience size also considered in impact or another criterion? A great question. My view, I think, is that there is no particular audience impact that we ask for. We don't. People are at liberty to tell us how big the audience for an individual show is, but that's not part of the judging criteria. And so we wouldn't judge that particularly, although you might, in terms of impact, judge something where the audience size has, gone up as a result of somebody doing something, if you can demonstrate that. So a question here, does the importance given to the impact on the people who are not in the room mean that instrumentalist pieces, ones that are making a social point, are scored higher than art for art's sake, i.e. a beautiful piece of audio storytelling that isn't intended to make a social point. It's a good question. I don't actually think I think it's sort of potentially asking slightly a question in the wrong way, because the categories themselves, some of them are designed to bring out social impact, and others are designed to be art for art's sake. Would that be fair, do we think, to say?
Yeah, definitely. It certainly wouldn't put one above the other.
So we've got another question from Angie Burns from a small community radio station. And she's asking, will it be of benefit for her to include guest listener interaction within the entry?
I think if it's germane to the quality of the entry, it absolutely should be. Now, if it's interaction that's not been covered on air, maybe it's Facebook messages or something, that might need to go into the notes that go out with the entry. If it's stuff that is on air, if there's interaction as part of the entry, then I think judges would want to hear that for sure.
So is it possible to be a judge if you're also entering the awards?
Obviously not in the same award category, but we do have judges who work on awards, but we certainly take a very careful view on what rules there are with regard to conflicts of interest.
So when the rubric says unedited, what are the rules over this? So, for example, if an interview has a song in between two parts.
If you've got a long interview, but you know that the killer bit is at the start, then it's sort of rambled off a little bit and the killer bit, and then there's another killer bit at the end. Can you edit it? If that is what the question is, and there's music either side, I would say that what you need to do is you need to, if there's two bits and you want to enter those two bits, you treat them as two of the 10. So you need to make sure there's a clear fade out of the first clip, gap, and then a clear fade in for the second bit. Don't edit it. That basically disguises the fact that you've done an edit. That makes sense. Don't edit it. That could pull the wool over the eyes of the judges. We need to know that you've submitted two pieces from one element.
Would you put a sitcom into drama or comedy? That's a good question, and I think you need to read the rubric to decide. You could, of course, enter it in both, and I don't think drama or comedy are paired, so you could enter the same in both. If they are paired, you might need to create two separate entries. But you know, we're not against people entering into more than one category if the entry, if the program is strong enough. But remember, if the categories are paired, then you need to put two separate entries in. Can't put the same audio in both, but two separate entries is fine. I wanted to mention just briefly that we have an independent editorial advisor who helps us, particularly with regard to contentious programming, where we may be comparing programming that's gone through an editorial process, for example, at the BBC or in a commercial sector, versus programming that is produced directly for podcasts, which may not have gone through the same sort of editorial process. We also are embracing an EDI consultant this year, just to ensure that we are as diverse and inclusive as we possibly can be, in accordance with the Trust, the Radio Academy's own guidance on that policies. Okay, final thoughts, maybe just going around the room.
If you're dubious about your audio, but it excites you enough, please do enter it.
Yeah, that there, very much so. Enter exciting stuff. And I want to thank you in advance for what you put in, because it really is a highlight of a judge's year, is listening to some amazing stuff. So thank you.
Entries have opened. They opened on the 4th of January. They close on Wednesday, the 7th of February. So you've got just about 3 weeks to curate a winning audio piece and submit your entry. Best of luck, and hopefully we'll see you in May.